Welcome back to the Visionary Rising podcast. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about how you can increase sales and conversions with your website. My guest today is Bailey from Honeyweave Creative, and they specialize in creating websites for entrepreneurs, not just by creating beautifully designed websites, but also strategic websites that can help lead to more conversions and more sales. This conversation is packed with a lot of actionable tips. So we're going to cover everything from understanding the role of your website in the client journey to how you can actually audit your website to see where there may be issues and quick tips you can implement to actually solve those issues as well. Bailey's going to be sharing her journey from starting a business in a totally different industry to designing websites that drastically increase the revenue for her clients. Bailey actually shares a tip in this episode too that's going to make a huge difference in your bottom line. So you're going to want to pay close attention to today's episode. We are going to go from having a website that just looks pretty to a website that actually acts, as Bailey calls it, a 24/7 salesperson within your business. We are going beyond the basics of what it looks like to create a high converting website as a creative entrepreneur. Let's get into it. Welcome to The Visionary Rising, the podcast for freedom-seeking, heart-led creative entrepreneurs, course creators, and online business owners. I'm Jody Brown, marketing-obsessed hairstylist turned content creation agency owner and visibility mentor, and I'm here to help you build your magnetic brand, grow your audience, and become the authority in your space. You'll get the most up-to-date conversations and strategies on visibility, marketing, social media, mindset, and entrepreneurship so that you can grow your business in a way that feels as good as it looks. Here, we keep it real and go beyond the basics. I'm obsessed with helping creatives get seen and heard and paid well for their work. Beyond a podcast, this is a movement. Welcome to The Visionary Rising. Hi, Bailey. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited to talk to you because I feel like websites are one of those things that most entrepreneurs know we should have. We're probably missing out collectively as entrepreneurs on a lot of opportunity to increase conversions and to use our websites more strategically to actually grow our businesses. So I cannot wait to dive into that today with you.
Yes, for sure. It's so crazy because a lot of business owners still need websites, but the ones that have websites, a lot of times they look great, but they aren't actually selling for them. And right. A lot of times it's just simple tweaks that you can make to actually get those conversions boosting, such your website is like a 24/7 salesperson for you. So hopefully we can go through and just talk through some of those quick tweaks that you can make on your site to really start boosting sales quick.
Yes, I love that. When we start businesses, a website's probably the first thing that a lot of us do, right? We're like, I'll get a website, then it's legit. And then the day-to-day of entrepreneurship kicks in. There's always things to plan, launches to be doing, clients that we're serving. And sometimes, and this may be from a little bit of personal experience, the website takes a bit of a back burner because we're focusing on creating sales pages and all of these little things. So let's maybe start by talking about what makes a high converting website versus just a pretty website?
I think the best place to start with this conversation is deciding what is going to qualify as a conversion for you. Because a lot of people, whenever they set out to make their website, they don't have a goal in mind. And if you don't have a goal in mind from the start, you're already setting yourself back because you're just wandering aimlessly, trying to get a pretty site up to look professional, do all this kind of stuff. But is it actually working for you? So first place to start, sit and ask yourself, what is the goal of this website? Is it to make more sales? Is it to book calls, get email subscribers? And you can have a couple of them. Have one primary goal though. And that way you're really able to start tracking some metrics at least and seeing what those numbers are. And if you have your website working for you and doing anything, but I would say that's the place to start is coming up with a goal of what you want your site to do for you.
Yeah, I love that. And that's something where we talked in a previous episode, actually, about making sure to solve the right problems. So I love this whole concept of setting goals, because if you have, say, a funnel where you're sending people from Instagram to
a landing page, then you've got like an email sequence, all of those things. Like, diagnose where that fall off is. Like you said before, what are you actually looking to achieve? Because so often we're measuring metrics that don't actually apply to what the goal is that we're trying to go for.
Yeah. And another thing that you mentioned, which is a great place to start as well. A lot of times people think their website is the problem, but the actual problem is maybe the marketing and nobody's even making it to the website. So another good place to start is putting some type of tracker on your site, doing Google Analytics or sometimes whatever platform you're on, they might have it innately in it already, but have a way to track to see if people are actually going to your site in the first place. Because if they're not, spend time on the marketing perhaps first to get people going there. And then once you are getting the people going, you can really start seeing what's working and what's not. But that's another thing I think people forget sometimes. They spend a lot of time updating their website, doing all these things, but they don't actually have people going to it. Make sure you have people going to it too.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. The traffic, it's like you can't measure whether or not, I hear this sometimes, like my funnel's not working, but we have no idea if it's working because there's no traffic going to it. So that's where
exactly
we need to diagnose. So let's backtrack just a second, because I do want to hear a little bit, like, now your business is Honeywave Creative. That is a studio where you are creating websites for entrepreneurs. So how did you narrow in on website creation as being the thing that was your zone of genius, and the thing that could make a massive impact for business owners? I would love to hear a little bit about the origin story of your business and what you're actually doing for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, for sure. And you're going to laugh at the origin story because it's one of the, I feel, weirdest origin stories I've heard. But where it really all started was I knew I wanted to start a business. It's in the middle of COVID and I couldn't decide what I wanted it to be. And I decided I wanted to sell potato pets. And you heard me right. Potato pets, like a pet rock. Different types of potatoes. I had a whole training manual, a package to send these potatoes in where it looked like a pet carrier. It was a whole thing. And with these potato pets, I started with doing the brand design and the website design. Never sold a single potato pet, but through that whole process, I said, you know what? I really enjoyed the website design part of this and the brand design piece of this. And I wanted to learn more about it. And then after seeing, I learned how to do it. I did it for a couple of businesses and I was hooked. Whenever I designed a website for a business, they were making around $1,200 a month. And the immediate month after designing the website, they had a $40,000 month just after the website launched. And I was like, holy cow, my eyes were just open to a brand new world. I didn't even know that type of money was possible at the time. And I said, wow, I helped them do this. That's the kind of impact that I can have with doing the branding, with doing the website. And I said, I needed more of it. And so we've been doing it ever since and just figuring out how to go about the websites to find the formula of what works, what doesn't work, see how we can optimize the sites just a little bit here and there to really create those differences. And that's how we came about and got into this.
I love that. Can we go through how you can self-audit your website to see what changes need to be made? So first of all, how do you know if your website is quote unquote working? Second of all, what are the first tweaks you look to make?
Let's see. Great question. I would say if your website is not getting you at least a couple of leads a week, if you're getting 1,000 visitors, that's the first way to start. I'm trying to get around 1,000 visitors a week. And from that, you should be at least getting 1 to 2 leads per week or 1 to 2 sales per week coming in with your website. And if you're not, then you may take a step back and assess a couple of points. Usually whenever a website is not converting, what I see is that one, first place to start is what does it look like? Sometimes a website is just plain looks sketchy and people go to the sites and it's like, when you go to a website, it just, it looks sketchy and it's, people can't trust you, especially it's already hard enough to sell online. And so I would take a look in the mirror or in your computer screen and ask yourself, does my website look like something that is trustworthy and that people will feel confident going to and buying? Is it looking the part? Is it as professional as my business is?
Yeah.
And then the second place where I see a lot of people going wrong is that they have too many offers on their website and they're presented in a very confusing way. So even whenever people are going to the site and they're looking around on everything, they end up getting just decision fatigue because there's so many offers. I try to say to keep it below 6 offers on your site, if possible, like 6 main offers. You might have a couple little offsets here, But if they have more than that, it gets to where, and if there's not a clear difference between them, people go and they just are looking and looking and I don't know what's the right fit for me. And they end up just leaving and saying, okay, I'll come back to that later. And they go elsewhere. They end up never coming back. So that's usually the main things that I see is that the website either looks sketch to start with, or whenever they have the offers on the site, it's just presented in a really confusing or overwhelming way. And sometimes you just need to simplify your site to communicate it more clearly what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I think that's so important to have clear pathways, because you're right, like decision fatigue can happen. And then also, I think sometimes we almost assume too much that people know that they need something, like why they need something. So I feel like it sounds like the website is it's part of the client journey. And I think we need to think through every piece of that when it comes to increasing conversions, the impact that we're going to have. It's all part of it. And I also completely agree, and I want to underscore what you said. When it comes to visual branding and when it comes to the way that you present yourself and your business online, I think it's very trendy at the moment to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Yes, you can be a little bit more off the cuff with the way that you show up now, for sure. But there is still a really strong psychological effect when it comes to how you're putting stuff together. And if it feels messy, or it feels like you haven't put a lot of intention behind either the client journey when they find you on social or on your website, that can really make people think twice about whether or not they want to invest with you and whether or not they want to actually work with you and trust you to help them in their business. Being an influencer and being a business owner are two kind of separate things that I think we need to give some consideration to.
For sure. And something else, I know you like talking about the words on the website, the copy, how you're coming across with that brand voice. And another thing to consider is, one, showing your personality in the voice, and two, just checking in, like making sure you don't have typos on your website, because even just little stuff like that just gets people second guessing of how much attention you put on details and whether or not you're really focused whenever you're delivering. So little stuff like that makes a big difference too on how it converts.
Oh yeah, 100%. So are there any other major red flags that people should look out for?
One of the things that I think has a huge impact on conversion that I see people not doing often is putting prices on websites. And I know that everybody has so many different beliefs on this. Yeah. So we'll see, because you can share your take on this too. You might have a different opinion than me. But if you have ever gone to hire a coach, look into a course, or hire a service provider, whatever that may be, I don't know about you, but whenever I go and I might be comparing a few different options, I want to see what type of investment it is. Yeah. And if I have no idea, I don't know if it's $20,000 or if it's $2,000, it makes it really difficult for me to make a decision. And a lot of people, whenever they're looking to purchase from you, if you don't have some sort of indication as to what the pricing is, let's say your website looks absolutely gorgeous, they're probably going to your site thinking you have high prices. And if they don't know what it is, they may be too scared to reach out to you. They don't want to be embarrassed and have to ask the price and it's way out of budget or anything. So I always say, one, if you have the prices and they're firm prices and you have packages, just put them on there. It's not going to hurt anything. It helps qualify clients. If it's out of budget, people will just not reach out, go find somebody else. Yeah. Or if you need to talk more, like they can talk more, but it helps people know that they're in the right place and to make a buying decision. It's huge.
I completely agree with that. Even if it's not something that I necessarily think it's going to be too much for what I want to spend for something in particular, and I'm using quotations because I think this is very subjective. There's a variety of services that I will spend like a ton on, some that I don't maybe value as much. And I don't think it's necessarily about your offer, the pricing of your offer. I just want to know. And even if it's not, even if it's just like a starting at or something like that, I think that's fine. But just give people at least like a ballpark, because you're right. If you have no idea, and I think also too, we've probably all had at least one experience where we have to get on a sales call to find out the price of something. And then there's pressure tactics and you're like, uh-oh, no thanks. But I think that if you at least have a ballpark initially, it could change, but it's going to give people the awareness of whether or not they should even spend their time doing that.
Exactly. And so a couple different ways you can do it. If you don't want to put pricing on, like you said, you can do a starting at price to give people an idea. You could also do our prices. On average, people spend around this much yeah. on the investment. So there are some different ways that you can go about doing that. And I like saying that too, because I know a lot of people say they may not have set prices, but there's ways around it. But try and give people an idea. And yeah. it also leads into if they know how much something costs or how much the investment is, you can also make it really easy for them to sign up so that you don't even have to get on a sales call. You have a buy yeah. button, and we're shrinking the process of somebody coming from maybe somebody who's never heard of you before to somebody who is a paying client. And we're shrinking that down, making it as simple as possible so that whenever they're ready to buy, they can immediately buy. They don't have to get on a call. We're not making them jump through hoops. They can buy when they're ready to buy. And that is huge also.
Absolutely. I think that's such a good point. And I also think it just, I feel like it's the transparency era, I feel, is here. And I think we need to embrace that. So if you are someone who maybe it's something to look at, if you haven't had a whole lot of inquiries or something's not working, that's a really easy tweak to make that you can see. Because people For sure. often will overshoot, right? Like they'll think it's like way more than it is. Or alternatively, if they think it's way less than it is, then it's sticker shock. Like it's no win,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. And okay, I thought of another one after you said that.
Perfect.
All the tips coming. But before you said if they're not getting many inquiries, if you do have, so say it's not something where people can immediately sign up, maybe you have some sort of application form. Another thing to look at is the length of that application form. I've made websites, I have clients come to me and sometimes they'll have an application form that is a million questions. It's 20, 30 questions. And it's good if you really need to qualify your leads. If you're getting an abundance of leads and you can't keep up with them and you really want to filter people out, do a solid application in the beginning. Make people jump through hoops, prove that they're interested and that like it's worth it to spend the time on them. But if you're not getting the inquiries in the first place and it's really slow, cut that down as minimal as possible. Make it as easy as possible. If you just need name and email in the beginning, just ask for name and email. And after they sign on, you can always send them over the questionnaire to get more information, but you don't have to gather it all right there in the beginning.
Yes. And I think you brought up a really good point there, Bailey, too. All of the advice is going to be very subjective based on this phase in business that you're in. And so a lot of the things that we just covered, like that is very much going to apply to everyone. But when it comes to if you're in a phase where you're not attracting as many clients as you want, I do think that is something to really go through an audit based on what we just said. And especially if you are in kind of that beginning phase, like don't make it hard for people.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Okay. Before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about a really underutilized trick that people can use to increase sales while they're growing their opt-ins. So if your primary goal is to be building your email list, you had mentioned something that you can do on the back end of building that email list that can help you increase sales at the same time. So can we dive into that a little bit?
I would love to dive into this. This is telling you a secret sauce for generating that passive revenue coming in every month. And it makes such a big difference. So if you have some sort of freebie on your website, you're giving away free value. I love that. Let's build that email list up, blast the freebie everywhere. But to get a little thing in return, a great way to build out your freebie even further is after people sign up for the freebie, add a redirect in to take them to a new thank you page. Say, hey, thank you so much for signing up. Check your inbox. It's going to be there in a couple of minutes. But then also upsell them, whether that is to your bigger service offering, or my favorite is if you have, you had a freebie, maybe you have a low ticket digital product or something. This is an introductory product just to get their feet wet, but you gave them something for free, introduce that paid offer immediately after, maybe give them a discount code. Another thing to add into that page is some sort of guarantee, because maybe they don't really know you yet, but give them some guarantee. Look, if you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. No big deal. Like, I want you to like it. I want you to enjoy it. Give them some sort of guarantee, give them some reviews, but put that right there. And then you can even add in your email follow-up in that workflow behind the freebie, a couple more selling points to encourage them to just sell them up and get a little bit in return for all the value that you're providing for free. But that thank you page on your website, I'm telling you right now, if you don't have it, add it in and direct them to that paid offer. You will see the sales coming in pretty immediately.
I love that. And how do you feel about video on web pages? Like it's specifically thank you pages, things like that, because I've seen a lot of mixed opinions from web designers on incorporating videos. What are your thoughts on that?
I love video. I'm a video fiend. Give me all the videos to add into your website because what it does, especially on the thank you page, and especially if you have a personal brand, this may be if you have more of a corporate style business, not as important, but if you have a personal brand and people are hiring you to work with you, letting people have some video content and getting to see you in real life action, just talking back and forth candidly, or maybe not candidly because you're rehearsing what you're saying, but it gives them insight as to who they're going to be working with, who they're hiring, the type of tone that you have in your voice, see if they vibe with the style that you teach with. And it just gives them a preview to all that. So if you could add a video in. I will say, though, and I would think this might be where some of the criticism from website designers come in, but if you do add a video, that can slow your website down. So just make sure that you have it hosted somewhere where it can load quickly, whether that's in Vimeo, YouTube,
right?
But maybe pull it in that way instead of hosting it directly on the site.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We've done like challenges where we've embedded video before, and that was definitely a concern. And I feel like embedding it into Vimeo and then just like, or sorry, having it hosted in Vimeo and then embedding it onto the website was so much cleaner. And it's really easy now, actually, too, which is great. Okay. I'm so excited about all of these tips. I wanted to come in with some rapid fire about pages that you should include on your website. Like, what are the absolute must-haves? Do you need to have a multi-page website? Is just a homepage and sales pages enough? Like, what do we actually need to incorporate?
If we're going down to the bare bones basics of what you need, let's start with the sales page, the landing page, because in reality, you don't need all the other pages. You need a sales page as at least a landing funnel page. So let's start with that. And you could even just make a really long sales page to give them all the info you need. But in reality, you have more than one offer, or you have you want to let them get to know you a little bit more to sell them a little bit more on you. So I would say your landing page or your services, offers, whatever you want to call a page, but a page to present your offers. And then a homepage is always great if you have more than one offer, because you could almost treat it like if you're thinking of your website as a tree, it's the trunk of the tree. And going down the homepage, we have the branches that are leading people out to the different areas of your website to get them that information that they need. So have your trunk as the base, get the tree going in the different direction, but homepage, services page, and then the about page is also really helpful. I wouldn't say it's as important as the other pages, but your about page is also really helpful if you are a personal brand, especially because a lot of people are going to come to your website and they need that know and trust factor to be established before they feel comfortable and confident and making purchases from you based off of what they're seeing on your website. And the about page is a place where you can really let them see that side of you and let you communicate not only about you, but doing it in a way that shows how you benefit them and help them along on their journey.
That makes so much sense. I love that. And I know that you actually have a resource that can help people plan their website, right?
I do. I love it. And it's super helpful. And so what it is, it's the Strategic Website Design Planner. It is free. If you go to my Instagram at Honeywave Creative, honey like a bee, wave like the ocean, Honeywave Creative, go check it out. It's in the link in my bio. It's called the Free Strategic Website Design Planner. And it's going to walk you through a lot of these things that we're talking about right now. It walks you through the pages. It walks you through those goals that we talked about earlier, thinking of who your target audience is. And it helps you take a step back and look at your website in a strategic way before you spend too much time getting all nitty gritty on the design and making sure that it looks pretty. You have strategy behind it.
I love that. I just did an episode not too long ago about one of my favorite copywriting tricks. And so while you're in this phase of planning your website, make sure you go back and listen to that episode. It's about learning to communicate the value versus just the features. And I think that is so important when it comes to, because for me, a website, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like there's three main pieces that are so important to work in tandem. And this is something I notice as a consumer. One is that it's clear and easy to navigate. Two, it's the copy. Like the copy is so important. And I think it helps you get to know the person so much more. And then three, the design. Do you feel like one is more important than the other? What is the biggest thing to focus on?
They definitely go in tandem with each other, I will say. And if you're deciding to, I have people, I get asked all the time, what comes first, the copy or the design? Mm. Copy first. You want to get those words in. You want to get the content to be able to say what you need to say, and then you make it look pretty. And if you have the copy first, you could also take these design measures that we're about to talk about and implement them in a way to highlight the important pieces of your website and make sure that we're constantly drawing the eyes to the places where they need to be going to help make the sale. So copy first, then design. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. And I think what you said is so important too, because this is something that we don't think about a lot in copy. And that is that a lot of people will skim read.
Oh yeah.
Like some people might hear what we just said as copy is more important, but that's not the case. Copy is the foundation, but design can actually impact the way that people read the words that you write, which is something that is so wild.
So even if your words are amazing, if it looks like a novel, people are not going to read it. So some ways to split this up is to create multiple sections on your website and break that copy into manageable paragraphs. And then you can also give those different paragraphs headers and subheaders that allow people to skim through it. And headers meaning like that's the big words on the website whenever you're looking at like that section title. That's what I'm talking about whenever I say that. But it allows people to skim through it easier, and it makes it so that they actually want to read it, because it's very intimidating whenever you do get to those pages and it's just a big wall of text. You're like, oh my gosh, man, 100%. Too many brain cells being used. Let me go elsewhere. So let's start with that, the breaking up the text. Another thing that is one of my favorites and is such a subtle thing, like a subtle little trick to do that makes a really big difference, is whenever you have pictures on your website of you or your team members or even a human, or it doesn't even have to be a human, but what you want to do is you want to have the eyes or the body facing the content that you want it to look at. So if you're standing on your website and you maybe have your hands on your hips and you're tilted one direction, put your body facing the way that you want people to look versus facing away from it. So you might have to flip the image to do it, but that is like such a quick, simple tip, is to just make your your body point. And it could be even image too, but if the image has like a point in it, you want it pointing at the words that you want people looking at.
I feel like that's absolutely something you could apply to like social graphics too, or reels, anything you're creating. That would work so well for any of those things.
For sure, for sure. And then let's see, other things we can do, and I feel like this is a key way that they could play together, is whenever you have complex topics being communicated. So the more complex the topic, the more simple you want the design to be around it, so that it's not overwhelming. So if you have a really strong call to action, or maybe you're talking through the deliverables of what they're going to be getting whenever they work with you, you want all of the focus on what you're saying. You don't want to take away from anything. You want this to be the main, buy now, sign up today. Make it the main piece that people are looking at, and leave the rest, leave some white space around it. Doesn't necessarily have to be white, but leave some blank space to get breathing room so that people aren't getting distracted by all a million pictures going around or cool effects, which you can add. I do recommend adding some sort of like effect to catch attention on your call to actions, but keep it simple when the copy is complex is another really good one to start with.
That's so smart. How important is the color palette of your website?
The colors you choose definitely get people feeling different types of ways, depending on what those colors are. And there's tons of color psychology that can go behind this, but you want to make sure that the colors you're using match the vibe that you're trying to put across. Yeah. And so I would say start with that. If you have a super serious brand, you may not want to go with super bold, bright colors all over the place. But start with that. Make sure the colors match the vibe. And then you also want to make sure you're not overdoing it on the colors. And I will say, even as an experienced website designer, I've been doing this for forever, the more colors you have on your color palette, the brighter those colors are, it does get a little bit more difficult to make it look professional. So if you are maybe DIYing this, simplify it. Try and keep five or less colors in that color palette. You want to have, I usually say, one or two base colors. So that would be a light color, like a white or an off-white, and then a black or a dark color, because those are really good for letting you actually write words. And then you want to have one or two main colors. I usually say one main color. So if you have a pink brand, the main color is going to be the pink. And then you can do one or two accent colors. And those two, you can just throw in sparingly to mix it up a little bit, add a little bit of visual interest. But especially if you're DIY, try and keep it simple, because the more colors you add in, the more messy it can look really quickly. So keep it simple in the colors whenever you're designing everything.
I totally agree. I taught a course for stylists like back when all of my education was for hairstylists, and it was all about branding, essentially, branding and marketing. Mm-hmm. And so there was like a piece that was about designing your color palette. And a lot of the time people want to skip to that because that's when it gets fun, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. where it gets creative. That's an enjoyable part of the process. And I loved what you said. Think about the tone and the way you want people to feel before choosing the colors, because that's something that I always put first, is like the vibe. What you want, mm-hmm. like the emotion that you want people to feel, like what do you want to be known for? So I feel like all those foundational parts of the branding process that people always want to skip really informs the way that you're going to both write your copy and also have your color palette be designed around.
For sure. And one more thing on the color that I love using is whenever you are using the color on your website, a cool trick to do is for all of your call to action. So anytime you have a button on your website or a main section where you're telling people to do something, calling them to action, use your brightest brand color. So if you have a bright yellow or a light green or that hot pink color, whatever your brightest brand color is, use that for all your call to actions. You don't have to do it for every single one. You might have a couple where you have to swap it up. Yeah. But if you use that bright color, it does a couple things. One, it makes sure people don't miss the call to actions. It draws their attention to it so that it's bright in their face, bold. And then two, it conditions them so that when they see that color, they say, oh, time to do something. Even though it's like subconscious work, it conditions them to take action whenever they see that color. So that's another fun trick to do with the colors.
That is so smart. Are there any colors that you think should be avoided in branding at all costs? This is just my personal curiosity.
I'm trying to think. I definitely have my own personal favorites and biases to what colors I like, but I don't think there's necessarily any colors that are off, like, that you shouldn't use. Right. I do think, though, a good thing to do is to make sure that whatever colors you use have enough contrast with each other if you're layering them on top of each other. So especially putting, I see a lot of times whenever people use a light yellow color or a light green color, and they put white words on top of it, it's difficult to yes. see and to read.
Yes.
So a way to check that, if you just Google color contrast checker, but they have lots of them that'll pop up, but you can add in your colors that you're wanting to use. And you can say, okay, this is background color. This is the color of the words. And just check and make sure that they have enough contrast for people to actually be able to read it. Because I don't think there's a wrong color, but there is a wrong way to use the colors to where it gets information across properly.
I love that. That is so important for social, because if people can't read it, they're just going to skip it.
Yep. Skip right over.
Yeah, exactly. And that applies everywhere. Thank you so much. This has been amazing. So is there anything that you want to add in terms of best practices, increasing conversions, any of the website wisdom that you want to make sure that you share?
I'll leave with two things. One, give people the proof that you can do what you say you can do. So make sure you're pulling in plenty of reviews, before and afters, screenshots, testimonials, stats, whatever you can do to give them the proof that you're not just talking the talk, you can actually walk the walk is a big one. And then one of my favorites that has like science backing and that I think is just super cool and that I don't hear about often is to keep in mind that anytime that we can surprise and delight the visitors on your website, we're able to trigger that dopamine in their mind. And this can be as simple as just adding a little animation. So if you keep that in mind, especially on the sections where you're really calling somebody to action, like your main buy section, maybe even just adding something to where it fades in or it has some sort of flip effect. Don't go too crazy, because animations can look a little amateur sometimes if you go too heavy on it. Like, don't go too crazy on it, but add something that catches the eye or that is a wow moment for your visitors, because it's going to spike that dopamine and it's going to be more likely that they actually take action on what you're wanting them to do after.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, for being here today. Where can my listeners go to find out more about you, Bailey?
Of course, come hang out with me on Instagram. That's my favorite spot to be. I am dancing around on there every day like a crazy person. I probably shouldn't do half the things I do. Come check me out on Instagram. It's at Honey Wave Creative, as mentioned earlier. Honey like a bee, wave like the ocean, Honey Wave Creative. And send me a message. Let me know you're listening to this podcast. I'd love to make friends, meet new people. I actually think that's how we connected, was you heard me on another podcast. Come follow me over there. I'd love to hang out and meet you.
Thank you again, Bailey.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.